This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Frankie Sinatra for you. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, running a little late this morning, to be honest with you, but I'm here. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for being with us on this Monday morning, May the 16th already. Wow. In a few minutes, Jarrett Stepman is going to join us. He is the co-host of the Right Side of History podcast. He's also a contributing writer to the Daily Signal. And we're going to talk about a new Florida law that mandates the teaching of the effects of communism to mid-schoolers. Do you think that's a good idea to impose that? So we'll talk with Jarrett about that in just a few minutes. And the Michael Sussman trial starts today. Do you know who Michael Sussman is? Well, he is the Clinton campaign lawyer. He's charged with lying to the FBI in the Trump-Russia investigation. So we're going to get a little thought on that, and a few other things as well, from the Sorese brothers, Andrew and Angelo Sorese, a little bit later in the show. And by the way, speaking of mid-schoolers, a Wisconsin boy faces sexual harassment charges at his grade school for using the wrong gender pronoun. Sexual harassment charges by the school. We are going to take a look at that as well. And want to keep from getting dementia? Well, then don't read this particular line, because that's something we already did last program. It had to do with blueberries. But one thing we do want to remind you and tell you about is that we have a great Ultimate Top 10. The top 10 last places to live, or rather first places to live on a Social Security check. This is what happens when you come in late.
No.
I screwed everything up.
Were you going to do the blueberry story about helping your memory?
I know. Don't start.
And you forgot that you did that the last show?
Obviously,
you're not taking enough blueberries.
True, but let me let you in on a little inside baseball. I read a sheet that lists all of the stories that I'm about to talk about. And on my computer, all I do is type over what I did the last time, right?
Uh-huh.
I forgot to delete this part.
So you're saying if it's on the paper, you write it.
You read it.
So you're the Biden teleprompter of the talk
the radio
show
radio. Version okay. of, I'm the radio version of Joe Biden.
Wow.
Whatever you put in front of me, and I read. But I'll say one thing, Ed.
Got to be some kind of award
read it better than I read it better than he does.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, where was I? The top 10 best places to live on a Social Security check. This is an interesting top 10, by the way. And I want to remind you also, if he still wants to sponsor me, the Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut, I'm telling you guys, in Tampa Bay, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It's a little plaza just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And I want to plug the Senior Voice of America. It's a great show. 8 to 10 a.m., they precede our program. They're on Monday through Friday 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Okay.
Yeah, I got my hair cut on Saturday at Andrew's.
Oh, did you? How'd it go?
Well, Andrew's not there on Saturday, so it was Candy.
Oh, Candy.
She's a lot better looking than Andrew.
She's such a nice girl.
But
they
you
have
know,
great people
you go there.
There,
you can still see Donald Trump. You can still see Ron DeSantis. I'm talking about the life-size cutouts under there.
You are correct, sir. You are correct, sir. You got a great haircut. You look good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Andrew's Master Barbershop is a great place. I'm telling you, we both go there. And Candy is a wonderful, wonderful person. I have never been to Andrew's where she isn't.
She always laughs.
Laughing. She's upbeat. She makes you feel comfortable.
Oh, we give her
She's
plenty to laugh about.
She's very down to earth, and we give her a lot to laugh about. All right. So, it is about time to take a break, even though
can't wait to talk to Andrew and ask him if he heard that Nancy Pelosi over the weekend called Donald Trump a creep.
Did you not even know that? No.
She was saying, actually, that it's a sad day or something like that when America votes for a president for a guy like a creep like Donald Trump. Well, she's resorted to name calling.
Of course.
You know, she gets angry when there's no vodka in the room, and then she gets nasty.
I still have visions of her tearing up Donald Trump's State of the Union speech. Do you remember that behind him?
If she
had done that to me, I would have grabbed her by the neck. You know, she's above.
I told you, when she pulled her down. When she gets frustrated, that's how she acts. And when that happened, when she was tearing that up. If he'd have just turned around and said, boy, you got a lot of class, Nancy, she'd have probably flew off the handle and probably thrown it at him. And then we could have got her on assault charges. At least something.
You're probably right. Anyway, we are going to take our break. And hopefully, when we come back, we're going to talk with Jared Stepman about the mandate of teaching the effects of communism to mid-schoolers in Florida.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines all around us.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tan Talk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tan Talk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have back Jared Stepman. He is a contributing reporter to the Daily Signal. He is also co-host of The Right Side of History. It is a great podcast. And Jared is with us to talk a little bit about a new law here in Florida, signed by Governor DeSantis last week. It creates a Victim of Communism Day, in which middle school students get at least 45 minutes of instruction once a year, every November the 7th, on communism and its effects around the world, like in China or in Russia, in Cuba, as an example. Jarrett, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's good to be back.
This is such an interesting story, and I must tell you this, Jarrett. I had my concern about a mandating course where the governor or the legislature can say, okay, teachers, we want you to talk about this particular subject. I'm a little worried about that. I want to get your thought now. Here, I mean, I agree. You know, communism, the more we know about communism, the more we dislike it, the more we worry about it. There's no doubt about it. Do you think it should be mandated?
I do think it should be mandated in schools, and I do think that there is a role for legislatures and state governments to play a role in curriculum, and I think it's increasingly important that they do so. I mean, I think especially in public schools, I think a lot of what goes on, especially with the setting of curriculum, oftentimes happens behind closed doors. It happens with the education establishment essentially studying these things. I think it's important, especially in the case of the issue of communism, which I think, especially in the state of Florida, where you have a lot of people who have been have escaped essentially from communist countries who have witnessed this tyranny firsthand. I think it's particularly important that young people get these lessons, and especially given that it's only one day a year, it's a special day that's set aside. It's meant for a short lesson, essentially 45 minutes. We're not talking about injecting political lessons into math courses and things like that that I think have been a real plague in many public schools around the country. And I think it's especially important, especially when we're talking about an issue like communism that was such a major deal for the United States for a very long time. We were locked in over a half-century struggle with communist tyranny. I think it's important for young people to understand what their country was about in the last century and what this ideology meant, especially for the younger generations that I think in many cases are separated from those struggles. And I think it's important to reinforce, look, young people, our schools, if anything, are supposed to create young self-governing citizens of a republic, understanding what systems fully oppose that, oppose the systems that protect the rights of citizens, that destroy even the concept of self-government. I think it's incredibly important for young students to have those basic lessons.
Right. The only thing I worry about, I think there's a little bit of a slippery slope, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate with you because I totally agree about the evils of communism, no question. But what if a teacher says, okay, I know that we're going to talk about the evils of communism, and I have to talk about it once a year, I believe it's November 7th, can I talk on a particular day about the good things that communism has done that I have found? What if a teacher said that to his principal and you were the principal? How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, I would say that the teachers have every right as individual citizens to talk about if they support or oppose communism. I don't think that they necessarily have the right to say, well, I'm going to set the curriculum of the school one way or another. I think that what the official...
But isn't that what the governor is kind of trying to do here?
I think he's saying that the school itself, the state itself has a right to essentially say that certain things will be taught in the state of Florida. I don't see a problem with that. I especially don't see that given that this is coming from the state legislature. I don't think that we can say, hey, teachers can't teach about communism, period, or if a teacher supports communism, that they should be run out of the school. Though I will say that communism itself, especially as an ideology, is directly opposed to, I think, any kind of free system, including the idea of the freedom of speech, which is completely destroyed under the ideology of communism. I'm not for rooting out people who are ideological dissenters. But again, at the same time, I am completely fine with states essentially setting curriculum. I think that is the right of legislatures, of the people of the states. If they want certain lessons to be taught in schools, I think they're absolutely right to do so.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jared Stepman, and we're talking about the course that Florida mandates once a year now, and that Governor DeSantis here in Florida signed into law. It's called, actually, it's HB 395. It creates a victim's of Communism Day, and middle school students will get at least 45 minutes of instruction every November the 7th on the bad things that communism has done. And my goodness, the more we know about communism, the less we should like it. And I do think there's a fine line, personally, between a philosophy and history. Because if we go into history and we can see the effects of communism, and I think when we look at it from that point of view, absolutely, the more we know about history, the better off we are going to be into the future. So, Jarrett, this is, you know, I don't want to lump socialism and communism into the same basket, but a lot of people will say, like, socialism is communism light. And my goodness, we certainly have a lot of socialism in our country, do we not?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of worry, especially that socialism is creeping into the United States. And I think, again, one of the important things is to understand, especially, again, with the victims of Communism Day, the slip into totalitarianism, something that's happened across the globe. Oftentimes, countries, they begin promising great things under socialism, that they're going to help the people, that there's going to be more equality. And, you know, as we've seen with the lessons of history, in those systems, some always end up being more equal than others. I think we've seen this in countries, if you want a recent example, like the country of Venezuela, which was once a prosperous country that now is very much not, that has been racked by poverty, where the leaders themselves have become incredibly corrupt and have essentially stolen from the people of their country. You know, these lessons are there today. We've seen how this ideology has ruined countries. And yes, there is, I think, a gap between what we consider socialism and the communism of, say, the Soviet Union or a communist Cuba. But there is definitely a line there between them. And I think that you've seen a lot of these countries that promise things like socialism or redistribution that end up in tyranny, much like those more hard communist countries. And I think that's the real lesson that needs to be drawn. We need to see examples between a self-governing free society and tyrannical ones. That's the most basic element of being an American, is that we stand for self-government. We stand for the natural rights of citizens, and these systems do not.
And you can point to Ukraine. Look what a communist country like Russia is all of a sudden going after another country that did not attack them. And that in itself is a history lesson, is it not, on the evils of communism, because we have despots that decide that they're just going to attack some other country. So, you know, that's one more, I would say, you know, one more iron in the fire there.
It really is, and it shows the long-term effects of a country that has been under communism for an entire century, and what it does to a society. It destroys not just the economy of a country, it destroys the very spirit of a country. A place like Russia, which in the 19th century had its struggles, but was in many ways on the way up, had a century of communism where I think there's a great deal of nihilism that exists in Russia. I think it's a country that its citizens are used to being under the heel of government. They're used to being in fear from that old Soviet system. I think that's bled out into the Russia that we see today. And I think it goes to the idea about communism. It destroys societies. This is not just about economics. This is about an entire system. People who live in fear, who have no rights, that can be protected by their government whatsoever, that they are essentially victims and modern-day slaves of that system. And I think that's why, again, these evils are important to teach, especially to younger Americans who don't know about these things. They weren't around during the Cold War. They don't really know much about communism, what it's done in this world.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder if it wouldn't be better to mandate civics courses, the courses that teach the history of our country, the founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I mean, when I was a kid a long time ago, civics was a course that was taught in grade school. And I am so glad. I didn't find it that big of a deal, you know, when I was at that age. But boy, the older I got, the more important it became. So if we say, rather than had an annual day to talk about communism, what if we just try to, if we're going to mandate something, maybe mandate a civics course for every grade schooler or mid schooler? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely a wonderful idea, and I think it's essential. I mean, that's really what our schools were created to be. It's to create new generations of self-governing citizens. Why I think it's important to have lessons about communism as well, is because it gives younger students especially something to compare that to understand that you know, we are very fortunate here in the United States. We have a country that, while certainly has not been perfect through its history and has had its own problems, which students should also learn about, that there's other systems around the globe that reduce people to complete absolute tyranny. And I think it's important to have, to be able to draw those distinctions. You know, we are very blessed in the United States to have this free republic, that we had a founding generation that created that. Students should absolutely know about those things. They should know what this country stands for, and they should know what it stands against throughout the world. There is a great amount of tyranny. There is a great amount of evil that has existed, and we need to know how blessed we are by the system that we have that is able to correct its mistakes. It's able to get in many ways better over time because it was built on such a solid foundation. Every student in America should learn about that.
Sounds good to me. Jared, before we go, tell me a little bit about your podcast, The Right Side of History, if you would.
Absolutely. I do this with my co-host, Fred Lucas, at the Daily Signal. We interview historians. We talk about current events through more of a historical lens. We do a lot of things with different authors and try to give a longer perspective to the issues of the day that comes from, again, that historical perspective that I think is so often missing in a lot of contemporary debates.
Well, that sounds terrific. So people should look for the podcast, The Right Side of History. And Jarrett, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much. I know we'll talk again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okie doke. Jarrett Stepman. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the Michael Sussman trial is starting today. That's the guy, you know, that campaign lawyer for Clinton. He's been charged with lying in the Trump-Russia fiasco. We are going to get some thoughts on that from the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, and possibly even from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
The Republic of Pinellas, every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock on WTAN, Tantalk Network, 1340 AM, 106.1 FM. Whether our topic is Donald Trump and the future of the greatest president of the past century, in my humble opinion, whether it's education, whether it is term limits, you'll hear about it here on The Republic of Pinellas on Tantalk Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
No, I mean, the point is who would have ever suspected that a creature like Donald Trump would become president of the United States?
When all I want is party down, to come along with me when I'm feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair.
Hey, we are back. Ed, is Nancy Pelosi a party doll? Is that what we're trying to get across here? So she's calling Trump a creature. She's calling Trump a creature.
My point was she was being grumpy because there was no party around. So that's
yeah.
She
wants to break out all of the expensive ice cream.
She's talking about the 42 thing at the border. And that was all Trump's fault.
No, I mean, the point is who would have ever suspected that a creature like Donald Trump would become president of the United States?
And I want you to know, I had to edit out 3 to 5 seconds of dead air because her mouth was swishing around.
She was trying to get her teeth back in place. Come on, Ed.
And fix her earpiece and, you know.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
shaking. She's got the
shakes.
She always
looks like she's chewing gum. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but she's got the shakes. Mm. Well, that's the teeth.
Yeah.
The Bondo stuff isn't
working.
Let's
be careful now. We're kind of making fun of her and her physical things and all of that.
I don't care.
And the point is that she's a nasty woman.
Yeah.
And when she tore that speech up, when Donald Trump was giving his State of the Union, I mean, had it been the other way around, as we have said, what if...
Exactly.
What if Biden was giving his speech, and right behind him, there's Mitch McConnell ripping the thing up? Can you imagine?
I got one better. What if Obama was there and somebody in one of the seats started ripping up his agenda? Stood up and ripped up the agenda.
Yeah, like a Supreme Court justice.
Can you imagine what happened?
Do you remember he went after, speaking of Obama, Judge Alito one time? And Judge Alito shook his head because he was, I mean, right from the podium, I think it was during one of his State of the Union speeches. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Michael Sussman and the trial of Michael Sussman. Now, he is the former Clinton campaign lawyer. His trial began this morning, about an hour, 2 hours ago now, an hour and a half ago. He's charged with making a false statement to the FBI. And it has to do with the Trump-Russia probe. It gets a little bit in the weeds. But basically, he said, I was not working for the Clinton campaign when I passed this information along. Turned out he was. Turned out he had an agenda. So we've got both of the Sorases, Andrew and Angelo here. And Andrew, they don't, you know, everybody's talking about this horrible crime that occurred in Buffalo, and now there was a shooting out near Los Angeles in California. And so I don't know that this will get quite the play that it should. But finally, you know, some of these people that were screwing around with Trump are starting, you know, their day is now coming.
Well, Paul, do you know if it was a Democrat-appointed judge handling this or a Republican-appointed judge?
You know, I'm going to say a district court judge in the District of Columbia has to be a Democrat.
Now there goes the case, don't it?
I don't know. That's a very good question. It's District Court Judge Christopher Cooper for the U.S. District Court for the D.C. area. So jury selection is beginning. I don't know. That's a very good question. What can a judge do? He's got to. The trial is, you know, is moving forward. So we're going to have a jury, and both sides get, you know, the chance to okay or not okay the jurors. So we're just going to have to go with the flow here.
Well, we'll see what happens. It all depends on the judge, Paul.
Yeah, it does.
It's going to happen, period.
But we do know that the Clinton campaign was up to its ankles in this, and they fell in head first.
Well, like I said, we'll see what happens with the judge. The judge could make it go away.
Yeah. So, Angelo, what do you think? I mean, we got all of these things going on. And by the way, Buffalo, New York is not that far away from where you are.
No, about a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, terrible, terrible situation. Every station is is talking about this ad nauseum. Of course, we think it's horrible, but the liberals have jumped on this thing almost with glee.
Yeah,
because it's a white guy that shot clearly with a racial animus went in there. We know that. He's a nut, but they want to link him to some higher white supremacist group. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a loner.
Right, it's not a white supremacist.
He doesn't have any group. This guy's a nut. He's a loner.
And this governor of ours, Kathy Hochul, was saying, he's white supremacist, this is white supremacy, and this and that. And I actually feel very offended about that. Because, you know, I'm not no white supremacist.
Of course not.
And she's representing us. Representing
of course not.
Me.
But they're trying to create a group that's not there. That's right. What I'm saying.
Well, what about that black driver that mowed down those people during that Christmas time?
In Waukesha, Wisconsin, he went after white people, right, including a grandmother and a child, as I remember it.
Right.
It was horrible.
More about that. How about the black guy just a few weeks ago that was shooting people and white people in the subway?
Yeah. Here's the deal.
He had mental problems. Well, obviously, this person, this kid, had mental problems. Right?
Well, our very own Tampa Bay Pravda newspaper here last night, and bold letters had him as a white supremacist. They have since taken that down. And have we not learned anything from the Kyle Rittenhouse saga where Biden came on and called him a white supremacist?
Right. They
label it immediately.
And then they're blaming Fox News, too.
Yeah. No, you're right. Andrew, our great president, Joe Brandon, is going to get on a plane and fly to Buffalo. And this, Andrew, you might know this. Did he get on a plane and fly to Milwaukee when the Waukesha, Wisconsin crazed driver? I don't think he did he?
No.
So that's there. It goes to show you that this is all political. If he really cared about human beings, would he not have done the same thing in Waukesha as he is going to do in Buffalo?
Right. How about New York City?
Yeah.
Or any.
So we're picking our crimes, are we not, Andrew?
It's all political, Paul. We know that. There's no other excuse for it. There's black supremacists, white supremacists. Next thing you're going to try and take your guns away again. It's all political. But Paul, I have a question for you, Paul.
Yes.
Now, Scientology, do you consider that a religion?
I consider it more of a philosophy. Free, right? No, I don't think there's a focus on God in that. It's more of a philosophical
right
organization. That's what I would say.
But it's a tax-free organization because they label it a religion, right?
Yes, they're getting away with it.
Okay, now, I found out that the Church of Scientology is backing Anna Paulina Luna financially. Now, isn't that against the law for a so-called church to be supporting a politician?
Well, first of all, I haven't heard the story. But if indeed certain people in the Church of Scientology are backing her, that's okay. If they say our Scientologist church comes out and backs her, I think that is indeed a legal and maybe illegal crossover. That's what I would say.
Right. Right, and that's about the article I was reading this morning.
May I ask where you got the article from?
Well, I went right to Anna Paulina Luna's site.
Okay.
Because I heard somebody about the Scientology backing her financially with some laundered money. And I went right to her site, and they have her there and talking about Scientology backing him. And believe it or not, some of the heads of the so-called, Anna Paulina's group and the Republican Party are actually in with the Scientologists doing this.
Okay, first, let's give our listeners some context. Anna Paulina Luna is running for U.S. Congressional District 13, which includes parts of Pinellas County. That's where we broadcast from. It includes a large section of St. Petersburg, Florida, and parts of, I guess, Clearwater, Florida, as well. And Anna Paulina Luna is a Republican running for the nomination of Charlie Crist's seat. He is currently the congressman there, but Charlie's going to vacate and run against our governor, Ron DeSantis. So go ahead. I just want to make sure everybody understands about this one.
From what I understand, after reading this argument, go to her site and look it up. You'll see the ties with Anna Paulina and the Scientologists.
Okay. I want to get back, if I might, to the Michael Sussman thing. And I want Angelo, this guy, Michael Sussman, I don't see how he's going to be able to defend himself. He got in front of the FBI, and he said he was not working for the Clinton campaign, and he was clearly working for the Clinton campaign when he was passing this information about the Steele dossier and what Trump was doing with Russia.
Absolutely. He lied. They got evidence that he lied, right?
I believe they do. It says here, Durham alleges that Sussman lied. He said, quote, falsely stating to the general counsel that he was not providing the allegations to the FBI, because he talked to the FBI about it, about the Trump involvement in Russia, not providing the allegations to the FBI on behalf of any client. And he was basically saying he was an independent doing this. And Durham, in the weeks leading up to this trial, said, quote, the night before the defendant met with the general counsel, the defendant conveyed the same lie in writing and sent the following text message to the general counsel. Jim, it's Michael Sussman. I have something time sensitive I need to discuss. Do you have availability for a short meeting? I'm coming on my own, not on behalf of a client or company. I want to help the Bureau. Thanks. Well, that is where he was not being quite honest, because he was deeply involved with the Hillary Clinton campaign.
But he's providing all these lies about
him. Yeah.
He's not Martha Stewart. He won't go to jail.
You think he won't? Well, she did go to jail, didn't she?
Martha Stewart did. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's not Martha Stewart.
Oh, I see.
I guarantee you, he's part of the Clinton campaign, and nothing's going to happen.
I thought that Sussman...
taxpayers' dollars again.
I thought Sussman had his own line of kitchenware like Martha Stewart, but you're saying he's not like Martha. Okay. So I don't know. It's just, it's at the bottom of the totem pole, and at the top of the totem pole is Clinton.
Well, we got
and a bunch of other people, right?
Let's see if he has a heart attack in the next couple of days or so.
Yeah.
Wasn't she on one of the talk shows right after the election stating that I would have been your president if it wasn't for the Russian collusion in the Senate?
Hillary Clinton, yes, she inferred that it was an involvement with Russia that somehow might have changed the fate of the election. Yes.
Right. She says, I would be your president.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly, she said, she was right on TV saying, I would be your president right now if it wasn't for the Russians with Donald Trump and this and that. Now, there's a statement. There's a lie right there.
Yeah. Here's the deal.
It's picking that up.
Here's the deal. In the 2020 election, the Hunter Biden laptop was suppressed. With all of that information about Vice President Biden taking payoffs from Russia and the Ukraine and China, all the big countries we worry about,
everything that they
and they suppress it, they suppress it, and they don't want to talk about it prior to the election. You want to know? You want to see somewhere where there was an influence? An intentional influence to suppress. There you have it right there.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
And nobody, the media, you know the media's not going to pick it up. And when it's out of sight, it's out of mind. You know, the people, they don't want to bring it up because they don't want the people to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Just like Pravda did with the old Russian days and what Putin's doing right now. You know? Same thing.
Very good point.
They did it at the United States. We need a whole cleaning house in this country right now. That these people got to be taken out by elections. They got to remove them on the election. This November can't come soon enough. And then the Republicans got to start bringing this stuff out, showing the American people what had happened and how Donald Trump was treated as the president. I feel that this guy, President Trump, should be given a second chance. He was never able to do what he could have done as president. He was stymied by the Republic, by the half of the Republicans that with their Lincoln Project and with the Democrats doing with the Russian collusion.
Mm-hmm.
He was never given a chance to be president of the United States.
Andrew, any follow-up on that just before we close up?
No, but I agree with my brother.
There you
100%,
go.
But the politics are dirty in this country, Paul. Very, very dirty, and it's got to be cleaned up. And you know what? It's probably been dirty for centuries, and everything is just finally really coming out.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. Politics has been a dirty game for a long, long time.
November can't come soon enough, and I hope there's a red tide.
I think there will be. Guys, it is a pleasure as always. Thank you both for being on here. And, of course, on Wednesday, Andrew, look forward to talking with you again.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, guys. There we go. The Brothers Ceresi. Let's take our final break when we come back. A Wisconsin boy, he's facing sexual harassment charges at his grade school for using the wrong gender pronoun. This is a kid in grade school. We're going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website at your leisure and listen to any of our shows, because he puts them all on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. So before we get to the story about this sexual harassment charge to a grade schooler, just heard this morning, Ed, that Sweden is joining Finland in applying for NATO membership. Now that, if Putin's intent in the Ukraine was to somehow stop countries like the Ukraine and the others from banding together with NATO, it ain't working.
Yeah, I know they were thinking about it. I didn't know they made a decision.
Apparently, Sweden's joining Finland. Now, Finland is applying.
Okay.
Finland is, in fact, the Finnish president talked with Vladimir Putin about it.
So they just pay a fee and get a membership card and all that
to
stuff?
To NATO, to join NATO.
Okay.
And apparently Putin responded calmly. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
He's on his meds.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right. Anyway, three Wisconsin boys are facing sexual harassment charges from their middle school over accusations they used incorrect gender pronouns on a fellow student. The mother of one of them is aghast. She said, I received a phone call from the principal forewarning me that I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son. I immediately went into shock. I was thinking sexual harassment. That's rape. That's inappropriate touching. That's incest. What has my son done? The principal said he's being charged with sexual harassment for not using proper pronouns. I thought it wasn't real. I thought this has got to be a gag. Now her son and two other boys are being charged because they wouldn't use one of the, I guess it's they and them instead of his or her. And apparently this incident took place in March when a student announced a preference of they and them to identify himself or herself. But is this not sexual harassment from the school? How can they justify that? That is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. I mean, really? You can't. That's going to go nowhere. And if I was a parent in that school, I would make sure I'd attend the next school board meeting.
You know, it's something every week. It really something is. Different every week.
Absolutely right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, our beloved Lightning are into the second round since I last spoke.
I got to tell you, I don't know, in sports, and I'm a football lover and I love Tom Brady's two-minute drill, but I don't know in sports the most nail-biting of times than when your hockey team is up one goal.
Yes, with 2 minutes
and
left.
And every time they're around your net and you just... You know how you lean into things when somebody hits somebody, you kind of lean into it, and you're leaning this way, and oh, look out, here comes a couple, oh, look out. You know, for 17 minutes or whatever it took to end the game finally and win 2-1, it was just, I was exhausted.
Exactly right. I find it to be the most exciting constant action of any sport.
In Game 7, I look at all those people that, you know, in Canada, they were standing there cheering, and then 5 minutes later, they all got droopy faces and headed home.
Did you feel sorry at all for the poor tournament?
Absolutely not. Go home, drink your Molsons.
All right. We got to get on. By the way, when is the first game against the Florida Panthers?
Actually, it will be Tuesday night.
It will be tomorrow night.
It'll be Tuesday, then Thursday, and then they will be back here for Sunday afternoon. At 1.
Tuesday, Thursday, they're going to skip Saturday.
Yeah, that's weird because the travel day is, they're in Florida. You'd think, you know, the Maple Leafs was a long way.
You know why they're doing that? They're catching up with the other series. They want to even out all the series.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tuesday night. Okay. Yeah. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. These are the top 10 best places to live on only a Social Security check, and we got to run on this one quickly. It's comparing the 143 largest cities. They factor in cost of living, livability, and median rent from the Go Banking Rates site. All right, here we go. Number 10, Davenport, Iowa. Get over to Davenport, Iowa. It costs about 19% less to live in Davenport than in the average American city. Number 9, Abilene, Texas. The last of the five Texas cities on the list. They got others. Abilene has a cost of living that's about 22% below the national average. Number 8. Staying out in that area, Norman, Oklahoma. By the way, that's the home of the University of Oklahoma. And all kinds of college students are there. All right. Number 7. Lake Charles, Louisiana. For retirees interested in living near the water with all of the recreational opportunities that bring that. By the way, if you love fishing, you'll love Lake Charles.
I've been there. It's hot and sticky, too. They mentioned I'll leave that off.
Now you're bad-mouthing Lake Charles again.
No, thanks.
You don't like to fish, do you?
I don't. And the thing is, what's weird is I grew up fishing. Now I don't eat fish, but I loved fishing when I was a kid.
But you don't like it anymore.
No, I'm not impressed with
it. Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Number 6, Des Moines, Iowa. Smack dab in the center of our country. Des Moines scored high in two areas, livability and cost of living. All right. Number 5, Rochester, Minnesota. God, it's cold up there. it's got the Mayo Clinic up there. So if you ever get sick, you got a good place to go.
And I guess if you got enough money to pay your heating bill.
Yes, you're right about it. I'd never thought about that. Number 4, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne's a little pricier than many of the others on the list, but still among one of the best cities to retire to at $1,500 a month. That's all right. That's all right. Number 3 is St. Charles, Missouri. St. Charles has the highest rental cost in the study, but it also has the highest livability score. All right. Number 2. Lynchburg, Virginia. Lynchburg, relatively high livability score. Primary factor in pushing it to number 2, but retiree friendly. Number 1, Rock Springs.
Hold on.
Okay. Let's all go to Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
Rock Springs, Outlaw Bush Cassidy recommended it, by the way. It welcomes retirees with low average rent of $692 a month.
You know why? Because nobody else lives there.
Well, that
you're all by
be.
Yourself.
So?
Well, it means you probably got to go and hunt for your own dinner.
So?
Well,
what's wrong with shooting a deer or a bear or an antelope?
I don't mind.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back on Wednesday. And remember, the freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan.